What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by The Club, the number one live streaming app for partygoers and DJs. Today, we have my brother, the world's greatest DJ, DJ Big Six, on the podcast. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
My name is the world's greatest DJ, Big Six. I'm from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, born and raised, 865 till I die. But I reside in Spartanburg, South Carolina right now. I've been here since 2007. So, you know, I DJ mobile DJ weddings, corporate events, sorority and frat parties. Been doing it since 1992, so.
Awesome, brother. And I was born in 1992, so I'm super excited to hear your experience is larger than my life. So I appreciate you jumping on the podcast, man. So here on the My DJ Story podcast, I want you to go into your story about your DJ career. So walk us to the beginning. You know, what sparked your interest in becoming a DJ, and give us that intro story of, you know, how you got started.
Well, I got introduced to the entertainment field back when I was, say, about 10 or 11. My dad, he used to do fashion shows and would have, like, we called it Fun in the Sun in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. So I was always around speakers, and my mentor that really got me involved in the DJ, and his name is Leon Hurd. I would always watch and see how he would, you know, take the records and spin it and, you know, and see how that worked. And my dad got me to start videotaping the fashion shows. So, and I didn't want to do it. You know, I was like, I want to be with my friends. I don't want to be doing this. So, but I did it, and I started, you know, putting things together. So whatever you do, get your kids involved early. That way they can understand the mechanicals behind the scenes type things. That way it'll spark their interest. And I've been doing it, man, to be honest with you, a long time. You know, I grew up in the church, you know, I grew up singing in choirs and in band and stuff like that. I've always been musical. My dad is musical. So I've been around it all my life. So, and then finally got to DJing. And I say I DJed in 92. With tapes. I had two, I'm going back. I had two tape decks going, you know, and I put a mix together. Back then it was Crisscross. It was Daz Effects. It was OPP was the hottest record back then. So that was, and everything on that night, it just lined up perfectly. It was a graduation party when I graduated in 92 in June. So coming up on 29 years, I can't believe it's been that long, but I still remember every detail of that night. But I DJed with two tape decks, and ever since I've been going ever since. So
that's amazing, man. I love the intro. You know, you always had music in your life, and then eventually towards the tail end of college, you did the graduation party and you really hit your stride in the DJ industry. So I'm super excited to hear, you know, where did it go from there? You had that amazing intro and you just hit the ground running. Walk us through where you went from there.
And then once I went from college, I went to college at University of Tennessee, Knoxville. And I started DJing my first gig, and I can tell you this, my first gig I was with Kappa Alpha Psi, and they paid me $80. And it was Kappa Alpha Psi. They paid me $80. It was at the Armory right there off of, it's in Knoxville. I don't know if people know where the Armory was, but it was good. It was I did pretty good for my first, you know, and once I started building and I started getting equipment, you know, that's after that $80, and I've started charging $100, and then started getting a lot of people. I started making a name for myself, you know. And then also, as far as advertisement, I did mixtapes, like live mixtapes, shouting people out, you know, the frats, the sororities, and, you know, just talking, you know, and that tape started circling around. So if mixtape DJ is still alive, you still should do it, because word of mouth is very powerful. If you know, I know now is the live streaming, but just shouting somebody out can put a, you know, bug in their ear, and it makes you, makes people feel good. So, you know, that really got my career going, and it kept going and kept building and kept getting equipment. I used to rent speakers, and I started buying equipment. So, yeah,
I think you just created a new dope analogy. The live stream is a new mixtape.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And if you're shouting people out and you're getting people excited and using your platform as a way to put other people on, it's super amazing, man. So I really appreciate what you've been doing from the get-go, and it's still, it is relevant today for new DJs that are listening to this right now, that you need to make sure that you're out there putting other people on, shouting people out, and building community around what you're doing as a DJ. And that's how you really drive value to the industry, to the community, and to your own brand. So one thing we like to talk about here on the My DJ Story podcast is your brand. You have a unique name, DJ Big Six. Let me rephrase that: the world's greatest DJ Big Six. And talk to me about what that brand means to you, and how you got the name. How'd you select that name, or how was it given to you?
Well, it was given to me at the University of Tennessee. Guy, I forget his name, but he's from Texas, and we were joning on each other, maybe cracking jokes, cracking. And he said, "Man, you look like a Big Six." I was like, Big Six. And he broke it down to me. Big Six is when you have two sixes on a dominoes table or whatever. But I never played dominoes, but that took the name and it stuck. I was like, I'm gonna use that. And it's been pumping ever since. So man, I really appreciate the guy. I still remember what it looks like and everything. But the guy, he didn't go to school at Tennessee. He was just one of the local guys. That, I mean, he probably worked on the yard somewhere, but we just used to hang out. But yeah, he actually gave me my name, man. So
that's awesome, man. You took it, you ran with it, and you were able to make it your own. Talk to me about some of the things that you have done throughout your career to really establish yourself as DJ Big Six. And what are some things that stand out about your brand and how you carry yourself as a DJ? Just talk about your personality traits and the way you go about your business that make you stand out.
Well, I love music. First of all, I love music. That's one thing you got to love is music. And you got to want to be able to put a smile on people's face. You know, you want to be able to, you know, take a song and make people bring memories. You want to put a memory in their head. And with me, I want to, you know, do a good job as far as the quality mixing, the sound. I want to have a good sound. I want to be able to provide something that they want to, you know, remember. And what I've done over the years, I've done record pools. I've done actual where you had the actual records, and you know, we network with different DJs. It's called the East Tennessee Record Pool. I've done marketing promotions for Bad Boy Tour when it came to Knoxville. Well, as a local promoter, you know, doing the sniping on the telephone poles and handing out flyers and things of that nature back in '97. I've done managing artist management. I had a couple of groups back in the day that had, you know, regional hits. Like the one group was called Too Deep, and I had a song called Riding My Cadillac. It's on Spotify right now. Wee Straw, he's no longer with us. He passed away in 2000. He has a album right now on Spotify, iTunes, and all that stuff. So I've done any aspect of entertainment, I've done it. And the Big Six, to me, it stands for, I have a sixth sense as far as music. You know, music is something I feel that is, there's no barriers. Whether it's country, rock and roll, international, hip hop, you know, everybody say I'm a hip hop DJ, I'm a trap DJ. Yeah, but I want to expand. I span the globe as far as international when it comes to DJing. And my thing, I love musicality. I don't like just lazy music. I want to hear the instrumentation, some thought behind the music and thought behind the lyrics. And that's what I really pride myself on as far as quality production. With DJ Big Six Productions.
That's really great, man. And one thing that I think that really stands out is your fact that you're always out there networking, and you're always making it about the people on the other end. it's not about yourself, and it's really about how do you add value to others through what you do as a DJ and in the music industry. And that makes a difference because people can feel and sense that energy, and it makes them more inviting to you and want to just be a part of everything that you embody within your brand. And that's super important. And it kind of goes back into like just DJing because you love it. Not because you see it as a check, not because you see it as a job, but just being so passionate about this thing that you're putting your heart into it and everyone kind of just radiant around what you're trying to build. And I think that is super, super important that DJs have that mindset. And that's how you succeed. The money, the fame, the attention will come if you're truly in it for the right reasons. So we really think that that's super important and want to highlight that. I would love for you to go into some of the parts of your story that, you know, you've learned a lot of things. You know, it's really difficult to get started as a DJ and there's ups and downs, but talk to me some of the parts that may have been a hardship in your industry or in your journey. And what are some hard parts that you're able to get out of? And how did you make it out those difficult times? And how can it be helpful for other people to hear some of these things? So when they're in difficult times, they can get out of it as well.
Like you said, you got to have a love for the music, and that love will get you through the hard times. I know when you're dealing with people, sometimes people can be wishy-washy or fidgety or not trustworthy. It's good to have your paperwork together. Well, let's go all the way back. You got to have the right equipment. You got to invest in yourself. You have to know that what you're doing it for the right reasons, and you're going to stay in for the long haul. It's not going to be a get rich quick type deal. You got to do your craft. You got to decide what you're going to do. You got to get your money up. You got to put something on a credit card. You got to invest, you know, in your equipment. This is what, $1,500. You know, back in the day, we had to, you had to piece things together with $1,200. Back then it was $600 a piece, but you got to crawl before you walk. But what you have to do is know that in the end, you're going to present a quality product, and you're going to have to be a student of the game. Got to be a student of your music. Got to know your music. Back in the day, we had stickers to know where the cue points were, but now everything is computerized. Everything is real easy. You know, it's really, real easy. It makes you laugh when you think about, you know, how easy it is now, but now you have to use technology. You got to stream. You got to, you know, do things every day. You can't just be hot and cold one day, here today, going the next. You got to be the one that the people know. They don't have to ask you, are you still DJing? You know, I'm still DJing. You know, I ain't going nowhere. But as far as the hard times, back in the days, you have, when you're dealing with people and you're dealing with management and you have a loss of an artist, that's one thing that we dealt with, you know, when he passes away, and then you have all this music and you can't really do anything with it. You just have to, just live up, make their name ring and keep sharing their product with my artist, Weestraw. He passed away, and we really didn't get a chance to do what we need to do, but he's from Chicago. But paperwork, you got to have your paperwork. You know, even if you do a gig for $100, you got to have your paperwork. This is what it is. And put everything in writing, what you want, what, you know, you need your money before you even, you know, unpack your stuff. You need, you know, upon arrival, I want in full. I don't want, you know, just half or whatever. So, you know, it's stuff that you don't want to do, but you have to do. It's nothing personal. It's business. It is the show business. You know, business is longer than the word show. So you have to just, know what it is and know your worth, because a lot of people they'll try to undercut you. A lot of DJs will undercut you. And a lot of DJs, I just live right there. They'll undercut, and you just have to move on. And what's for you is for you. You can't really hope and wish, your time will come. If you stay at it, you will get noticed no matter what. You know, you don't have to worry about if I'm going to be famous or not. It ain't about fame. It's about you doing a service, and that you're doing a good service, and it's going to be, how do you say it? It's going to show in your work. So do more work in the lab, and then it'll come right back around to you, because the work that you put in the lab and you put it out there, and then it'll come right back around, and you know, the DJ, you know, you'll get it. So
definitely. Yeah. No, I think that's super good insight. You know, you have to have optimism that it's all going to work out. Then you have to put in the work.
Yeah.
So you just gotta be, you know, have faith that it's going to work, and then actually go and do that work. And if you stick to it and you have perseverance and you don't let hardship really get you to stop or quit, you will make it in your career. And I'm confident and optimistic that all DJs out there that are working hard on this, and they, you know, believe in themselves, they learn new skills, you know, keep up with technology and different tools that are out there to help them build their brand and their business, and leverage these different ways to increase, you know, the gigs, the money, the, you know, relationships, the networking. If you're just doing all the elements of your business, you will be able to reach those next levels within the industry. You know, I would love to talk about, you know, what are some things, you know, over the past, you know, 10 or 5, or just most recently up to date, what have you been working on? And just what are some things DJs in general should be doing in their career at this time?
Everything is technology based. Virtual DJing is where it's at. So that's what I'm working on as far as getting, you know, my iRig. I got an iRig, I hadn't used it yet, but but you got to have the tools to do the job and to provide a service and to get locked in people like with you, you know, lock in with the Club DJ app and different apps that are out there that bring your work to the people and get in there with Twitch and Facebook. You know, I tried with Facebook and they threw me off. So you got to know, also that's what comes with the paperwork as far as what you can play, what you can't play. What I do to get around it, I play stuff that is not major. You know, I play stuff that isn't on the radio or isn't, you know, quote unquote signed with a major label. That way you can kill two birds with one stone. You can show the people who's coming up love. And then two, you can expose people to different music that they don't hear all the time. And they're like, oh, who is that? Let me Shazam this, or let me tap in, cause I on my mix show, I have a few artists that are mainstream, but most of the time I play all independent upcoming artists and give them a shot, give them some shine, because it's hard to get in there with the majors. You know, it's very hard. You got to have, like, what did what's his name say? The guy from Memphis, Young Dolph, said you got to have at least $250,000 or $1 million to break a record. That's what he said. $250,000, that's a lot of money. You know, and you dealing with them big dogs, and those you can't compete with it. So, you know, as a DJ, you want to be able to break new music. You want to be able to bring something different instead of just the same old, same old. If you just do that, you just like everybody else. What's going to make you stand out from the rest? You know, you got to be unique. You got to be on point. You got to know what you're doing. Got to be confident. All that, in your timing has to be impeccable. So you got to bring it. If you don't, you're just going to be like everybody else. You know,
that's really great advice. And I think that you're doing a really great thing for the community of music in general. You know, you're putting on up and coming artists that may not have the opportunity to have the big platform to kind of get their music heard. Yeah. And people like you, you know, they help people get discovered. And who knows, you might play it and the right person is listening and be like, whoa, this is new. I never heard this before. And they really like it, and they have, you know, the opportunity to share it, and it can help them go viral or really get the exposure they need. And for you as a DJ, if you're the one with the good ear that's putting out these good artists that are up and coming, they just don't have the distribution. You have value as well, where people are going to come to you to find the best new artists and new music that they want to hear. So like you're providing value in the ecosystem, and that's what makes you build your brand. How are you providing value? Everyone's looking for value. And if you're giving value in some way, shape, or form through your DJing, that's how you progress. Right. And like you said, you have to stand out from the crowd, because there's a lot of people that are trying to get into the industry. So you need to find your niche, find what makes you unique. People like people, find what shows your personality, and really get to know your audience and allow them to get to know you. That's another reason why we're here on this podcast, because people now get to hear your story and get to hear who's behind the person on the tables. And I think that's super important, and why we're super excited to have you here on the show. You know, I would love for you to kind of just walk us into, you know, what are some things that you know now as a DJ that you wish you knew when you're first getting started? Because I know you have a long career in this game, and there's just so many learning lessons that you've learned throughout this journey. But some DJs that are here now are just wondering, you know, what should I do to get started and go into this properly? You know, what are some things that you've learned throughout this journey that you wish you knew when you were first getting started?
It's business, never personal. You know, back in my younger days, I would be hot-headed if somebody didn't say what they say we're going to do. And, you know, it's business. No, don't take it personal. It's, you know, you live to fight another day. Don't take everything serious. It's a, you know, the sun going to come up in the morning. You know what I mean? So relax, enjoy the moment. Don't take it so serious, you know, but be about your business and be steadfast, you know, which I was, I'm steadfast. That's one thing I wish I'd learned before, back in the day.
Yeah, it's super important, you know, to have a mindset where it's business and you have the ability to be level-headed and to make conscious decisions that are going to help progress you and your business forward. Because if you're not able to be level-headed and you make decisions that are not in line with you growing, you're going to burn bridges. You're going to fail to build relationships that may be influential to the future of your career. And those things hold you back. So what I hear from a lot of DJs on this podcast is to be humble. Humility has gotten them very far in this industry. And for DJs out there that, you know, are hearing this, I'm like, wow, you do a self-evaluation. Are you humble?
Right.
Genuinely, like, do you have the humility to learn and listen and participate with other people and putting other people first? Because when you do that, you would see things happen in your life that allows you to be sitting at the next table at the high seat. But you have to put yourself in a humble status to be able to elevate. And that's something I believe in wholeheartedly. And I can hear just from your interview here that you've learned that lesson. And it's something that if you learn it sooner than later,
you
will benefit greatly from it.
Exactly.
Wonderful, brother, man. I would love for you to, you know, talk to us before we go into our lightning round. And before that, we do have to jump into a quick commercial break. So we're going to do that. And when we come back from our break, we're going to go into some of the things that you're doing now and learning more about that. So,
all right.
And we're back. We have my brother, DJ Big Six, the greatest, world greatest DJ Big Six. And we're super excited to have you on the My DJ Story podcast. And we want to hear, you know, about some of the things that you're focused on now. And how can myself, the club, and our community help and assist you?
Well, I'm a member of Nerve DJs, Empire DJs, and Pure Truth DJs. I'm a DJ on all, like, think about 11 different internet radio stations right now. And you can follow me on Instagram at DJ Big Six, on Twitter at DJ Big Six, Facebook, DJ Big Six. And I got a website, DJBigSix.com. You can hit me up there. But basically, I'm just offering packages to artists. You know, if they want to be, you know, put in rotation, then it's nothing but $50 a week. You know, if they want to do that, and you can get heard all over the world, all over the net. Also, I do CD duplications. I still burn these right here, these CDs, even though people think they're out of style. No, these will never go out of style because these are hard copies. You know, whenever you need, you know, listening to music on CD, a lot of times you still have CD players in your car. And so, you know, I still burn those and DVDs as well. Basically just networking, you know, advising, you know, helping the artists along the way, you know, pointing people to the right direction, you know, just try to be a conduit to the artists, you know. So that's what I'm pretty much doing right now.
That's great, man. Yeah, we would love to connect you with artists and people that are looking to seek mentorship and support from you. Seems like you're doing a really great job and your role within the industry. So we appreciate and we honor you for everything you do. Thank you. At this time, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
I've got a Pioneer DJ, DDJ SX3. A MacBook Pro. I've got the thump, 12 inch thumps, and with a subwoofer. That's pretty much it. Got a little light. I don't have a light rig like they did back in the day, but just a couple of lights. And that's about it.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Oh man. Woo. Well, I'm going to go with, of course, DJ Kid Capri. That's one of them. I can't just have this one because I was influenced by a few. But Kid Capri, you know, Kid Capri.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
It's been a lot of them. Probably on a boat in Tennessee, Tennessee River boat. It was just a good atmosphere. It was grown and sexy, but it was more upscale. People were dressed to impress. And, you know, it was like we were, you know, I was playing a lot of R. Kelly and Aaliyah and, you know, Rock the Boat. And, you know, it was real upscale, you know, had that feeling, you know, that vibe.
Who's the most interesting person you've met throughout your career as a DJ?
Interesting, another DJ or just interesting person?
Anybody.
Oh man, I'm gonna say my man DJ Stir of the Pearl. I don't know if y'all heard of him. He's another mentor of mine, and he's the most interesting person. And he still goes on. He's on 10 as soon as you meet him. So yeah, DJ Stir of the Pearl. I gotta give him a shout out. Yeah.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
You know what? I couldn't even tell you because I don't even live stream. Maybe I would say the instant Cash App thing or whatever, or I don't know. I don't know. I need to start doing it. I need to start doing it.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Oh, Stir of the Pearl. Stir the Pearl. Yeah, I bet he has a good story. Because he started doing the birth of hip hop. So yeah, Stir the Pearl. It's so many. I don't wanna, you know. We can just go with Stir the Pearl. Hit him up. I hit him up and let him know, you know, need to get down.
Awesome. Yeah, we'd love to have him on the podcast. And any DJs that's interested in being on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Most definitely. You can hit me on my cell, 865-591-3874. You can send me a text. You know, hit me up if you need me to DJ. I do travel. I've DJed in Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, all the Southeast, even Kentucky. So yeah, hit me up. DJBig6.com, a website, at DJBig6 on all social media platforms. Hit my website, just check me out on my schedule so you can listen to what I'm doing. So
really awesome, brother. Hey, we really appreciate you sharing your story on the My DJ Story podcast, man. This has been really great. Really dropped some gems and some insight on the industry and your journey. And I know it's been helpful to other people listening. So thank you. Everyone, please check out my brother, the world greatest DJ, Big Six. My guy. Yeah. So I appreciate you, man, for spending time with us today. And we look forward to working with you and helping you in your journey in the DJ world. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the platform. Yes, sir.